Hey, how's it going out there? Welcome back to another edition of the Carolyn and Joe Show. My name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
Yes, it is again us.
Another week of us.
Another week of us that you will, well, in fact, have a damn good time. So, Carolyn, I hear we have some tour dates. You guys can see us in person. Wouldn't that be great?
Yes, I don't have the full listing here because I didn't bring the touch and I'm not connected to the internet, but tell you what we're doing.
See what happens when we have
Sunday.
No internet attached to us on remote location and some other planet. Yes, we are recording this in a whole new world. That's where we are. That is where we are.
Anuxanabug.
But yeah.
We're on the planet Anuxanabul.
But yeah, we do in fact have some tour dates that you guys should definitely check out. Carolyn, what are the tour dates, miss?
If you want to know directly from the internet, go to curls-studio.com. But if you want to know right now what we're doing next Sunday, we are going to be at Capcom's.
Should we know the date?
Sunday, April 10th?
The days that appear this weekend are the 9th and the 10th.
Well, it's the 10th.
So the
Don't
10th.
Get people confused.
So on this 10th, Sunday the 10th, April
Sunday,
the 10th.
Sunday, April 10th, 2011. We're going to be at Capcom's. It's at the Dunloring Fire Station. And we are going to be there from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m.
And this is very close to Tyson's Corner. So it's almost like the Tyson's Corner area.
Yeah, pretty
area,
much.
Right?
If you're near Tyson's Corner, Northern Virginia, heck, even Maryland or D.C., come on by.
Come on by. Enjoy some comics. Buy some VAR comics.
And go to curls-studio.com to find out more direct information.
That is right. I like how we timed it perfectly.
Is that Spider-Man?
Timed it perfectly with that music. Spider-Man 3, in fact. Spider-Man 3. The one movie, the Spider-Man movie that people hate with utter.
Do people really
hatred.
Hate that movie?
I don't know. Whenever I talk to people about it, they're always like, oh, Spider-Man 3. I hate Spider-Man 3. They had the dancing sequence in Spider-Man 3. I'm so hardcore. I need to watch.
They're like, I had to turn it off.
Every one of the movies that I watch have to be the greatest movies of all time. So Spider-Man 3 cannot even be watched by my eyes. I only watch the greatest ones. I watch Citizen Kane at all times.
What about Daredevil?
I watch every single Oscar award winning movie at all times.
What about Elektra?
People really do hate the hell out of Spider-Man 3. And let me ask you, Carolyn, why would people hate Spider-Man 3? You know, to get this across, I don't hate Spider-Man 3. You know,
I think that those people just want to be so hardcore.
Is that really the game that people should play to be hardcore?
I think that if they really were to look deep inside their heart, they would know that they actually had fun during that movie and they enjoyed it. But they just don't want to acknowledge it. They want to be hardcore and be like, I like the tough movies like Iron Man.
Like, I don't need to watch all the Oscar winner movies. I don't even watch the nominations.
Did
They're
you watch
bullshit.
The,
I just watched
What about the King's Speech?
No one's
like, those
seen
aren't the same
speech.
People that are talking about that. That was the big winner.
That's pretty hilarious, though. Like, all these, you know, people are
like, I'm hardcore. I watched the King's Speech.
That shit was breathtaking. It was a triumph. I loved it with all my heart. That just seems like the only. Like, I feel like people. I run into a lot of people because, yeah, I mean, I make
a tour
films.
De force.
Yeah, it was a tour de force.
I always see those on the cover of the movie boxes.
But can't
They're
we
like,
just
a tour de force? You know, magnificent.
Like, I understand.
Breathtaking.
I completely understand. Like, an absolute horrible movie. You know, I that's fine.
Like, what would you consider to be an absolute horrible movie?
I mean, like, for me, I
like something that you would never really want to watch again,
well, first,
even if somebody paid you.
Well, first, let's judge. Let's break down how exactly, like, I judge a movie, or how anyone in the rest of the world judges a movie. I need to be able to watch this, like, one of my movies that I love, like, that I'll claim that I love, that I like. I have to be able to watch that movie twice. Like, and just sit there and be like, man, I'm gonna watch it again. You know what I mean? And or a movie that, like, whenever it's on TV again, I'll watch it. Or, you know, when I see it on the shelves, if I see it, I have to buy it. You know what I mean? Those are the movies
that
I
count
as good.
Well, I want some examples.
No, I'm just saying that's how I'm going to base it off. That's my judgment. It has to be that. I have to want to enjoy it.
So what movies have you seen recently that are incredibly, like, horrible?
Recently? I'm not sure. I'm not trying to ingest any horrible movies. I heard that Sucker Punch was pretty horrible. I was sort of looking forward to seeing that. You know, maybe I might still see it in the future, but now I don't really feel like spending that much money to go
there.
You
don't want to see it in the theater.
Maybe I don't really feel like seeing it in the theater, and it's just, it doesn't seem to be that big of an event of a movie. But maybe I still probably watch it later. And hell, I might even like it. You know what I mean? But at this point, I'm not gonna watch it.
But what movies, like, have you seen in the theater that you didn't like in the past?
Tomb Raider, I did not like. 8mm, I did not like. I don't know. There's something about the Tomb Raider movies that just felt like sort of, I don't know, action generic. I don't really like action generic all that much.
I know they kept doing the camera spinning around Angelina Jolie.
There was just like, you know, it's just like watching a bad wrestling match. If there's no, like, if it doesn't feel like there was anything paid off at the end. Like, if I didn't really get, like, a full meal out of it, I didn't really feel like it was all that great. Now, you know, I watched Spider-Man 3. Yeah, it's not a perfect movie at all. But, you know what? I still enjoy watching it. Like, I can't help but watch that thing on TV. Like, when it's on there, I'm like, oh, man, Spider-Man 3 is on. I'm going to watch this thing. Because there are lots of moments in Spider-Man 3 that I'd really, really like. Like, the Bruce Campbell scene. Like, with him in the, him with the ring. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That's an awesome
scene,
man.
The French restaurant?
Yeah. Like, maybe, I think maybe that might be the problem with Spider-Man 3. I think people just had, like, this utter, like, because I guess The Dark Knight, you know, it was dark movies were coming out, you know what I mean?
And maybe it was just that time of the, you know, it was the time of the...
The month. It was that time
of the month.
It was that time of the month for all the
film fans.
Everyone
was bleeding, and they were just like, man, I'm bleeding, man. I'm bleeding for Batman.
It's like,
I want
to be
hardcore.
I see. Someone's wearing a dark costume. He needs to be dark. I want people to die left and
right.
Like, I want to feel like shit when the movie is done.
I hate Peter Parker's emo haircut. Everyone hated that. It was kind of goofy, though.
It was, but at the same time, it wasn't the type of goofy that made me feel like, I'm turning this shit off. It's not hardcore enough for me. You know, maybe it's
I know
just...
a couple of people that actually, like, waited for it on DVD, and then they just stopped it after the dance scene. Like, they were like, I'm not watching anymore. I'm like, what?
People are going to frown upon me for this. My stock is going to go down if I show that.
But that must show you how bad it actually is. Like, because usually I would at least stick with it if I've seen, like, most of the movie. And especially if you paid for it, even if you paid to see it on DVD, like, you're still paying for it. And you've watched... When does the dance scene come on? Isn't that, like, halfway through, kind of?
It's sort of like, yeah.
It's like...
It's sort of the end of the second act, or the beginning of the second act.
But it's like, if you've already spent that much time, though, and you've already paid for it, even if you just Netflixed it, you still technically are paying for it. So it's like, I don't know. Like, I feel like I would still watch it. Like, I don't know. Maybe I'm just different, but some people, like... They must really judge things, like, based on, like, oh, this is one more hour I'm going to lose of my life. I better turn this off.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like,
never again.
It's like, how bad is that? Does that really have to be? Maybe I'm just more patient than, like, the average person, which I believe to be true.
Well, either way, like, I was sort of always taught, you know, I just grew up saying, if you, you know, like, finish your meal. And I'm like, well, I bought this. I might as well sit through.
Yeah, it would have to be really bad, because I don't think I've ever walked out in the theater of any movie. I don't think I've ever, like, purposely... like, stopped watching a movie and never, like, there might have been times where I'm like, oh, I'm tired, I'll watch it later, but, like, you know, I'll remember where I was and I'll watch it, but there's never been time where I just, like, blatantly take it out of the, like, eject and be like, I hate this,
I'm not watching this crap. I mean, like, there might have been a few movies, you know what I mean, and, like, a lot of film nuts will be all over me for this, but you know what, I've stopped watching David Lynch films, you know what I mean, in the first half, and be like, I'm like, all right, here we go, this is...
But a lot of people...
This is so over my head that this is awesome, I guess.
I've never really seen David Lynch stuff, but a lot of people really, like, swear by him.
I think...
So maybe they would feel the same way that you feel that you're sticking up for Spider-Man 3.
Well, I think there's also, I guess, me and my psychoanalysis of the human condition. There might be a certain type of person out there that, like... Or a certain type of people out there that when something is sort of so over your head or it's weird that you can't comprehend... That, you know, they like it because they're like, wow, you know, I can't understand this. This must be awesome. You know what I mean?
Like something else is dragging them into it.
Well, you know,
they don't
like,
really know.
Or, you know, like some people really like if it's so weird that people, you know how it's sort of like, you know, I'm not going to say it's like a snobbyism or something like that, but that when
snobbyism,
but like if it's sort of like, wow, I can't under, you know, when it's sort of like so overly smart or so overly creative or something or has like a thought process of that, that person might enjoy it because they feel like they're tough for hanging in and saying, I like it. You know what I mean? Like, oh man, this movie's dark or this is weird. I'm going to keep watching it because, you know, that's the person they are. That's just, you know, and I can't really, I'm not going to go down and say that that's bad for them. But for me, that's just not the type of stories I like.
Something interesting that we've pointed out before in the Carol and Joe show makes some sort is of that sense. With Spider-Man 3, the director, Sam Raimi, is not going to be around anymore. And then they replaced him with a guy who actually does music videos and, like, a lot of dance stuff.
And there's... And there's
so, like, what was his... He's done a lot of My Chemical Romance videos, like,
Helena. It was Mark Webb.
Yeah, Mark Webb. And then he also did, like, 500 Days of Summer, and they have, like, a dance scene.
That's a huge dance scene.
But, like,
there.
Everyone loved that dance scene. Even, like, hardcore people, they're like, I love Joseph Gordon-Levitt dance scene.
He's so indie.
He was indie, and I loved it.
That's another thing. Like, people, like, you know, when, like, people are like, when people are like, oh, I love indie music... Like, I swear, like, in like 2001, I was a teacher for a TV production class, and I saw this girl that was playing guitar, right? And I was like, again, I'd go up to her and say, like, hey, what type of music do you like? Or what type of music do you play? He's like, I play indie rock. And, like, in my head, I was like, what the fuck does that mean? I love indie rock. So it's like, so any album that doesn't. Any
so, like, anything
that
by
have a...
Dashboard Confessional is, like, their favorite.
But, like,
but Dashboard just... Confessional, weren't they on the Spider-Man soundtrack?
But just the fact that she says, just like, indie rock, you know what I mean? It's like, for me, just to say, like, a certain genre makes no sense to me. I guess it makes sense.
It makes sense because what if people say, oh, what do you play? And you're like, oh, I play country music.
Yeah, but see, like, country music makes sense. Like, country music, you understand the type of sound, you know what I mean? But when you go and say, like, I like indie rock is like a million different sounds.
Either
that, or it's just
maybe,
like,
that person is, like, categorizing it as, like, rock that's not played on the radio.
Yeah, but at the same time
I like rock that's not prominent in like most people's memory.
But see, like, I feel like there's they feel like there's a coolness factor of, like, oh, I like something that you don't like, and I completely understand that.
It's like the hipster thing, like our hipster show with Nadia.
But see, I completely understand that standing of, like, oh man, this is like my little secret. You know what I mean? My stolen secret. That stolen secret.
Tell you my dirty little secret.
But at the same time, it's sort
of American Reject.
But at the same time, it doesn't make any sense to me. Like, if they're to name, like, a certain act or a band, I would completely understand. But to say, like, I like indie music, it to me is like
that person was just trying to be cool.
But at the same time, to me, it's like a person saying, like, I like indie movies. That still doesn't make any sense to me.
So that person likes movies where, like, the poster looks like it's hand drawn.
Or at the end, my idea of an indie film is a movie that doesn't have a release date yet. You know, when they make it, they don't have a release date. That to me is an indie film.
Anything that's an indie film to me is something that is like
hand drawn type.
Like Juno, Away We Go. Whatever, Year of the Dog.
All those indie movies.
All of them. Super.
But it's just, you know, maybe...
Do you consider Super to be an indie movie?
I don't know.
They have, like, hand-drawn stuff.
But see, at the same time, does it really matter to me what if it is an indie movie or not? It can't be...
I just think it's funny that that's, like, a look now.
Indie? Yeah.
Yeah.
Sort of like, oh, it's hand... Because you know what, like...
They're like, oh, they made it... They didn't even have money for a computer.
They drew that themselves with their hands!
It's, like, ridiculous.
And that's all well and done. I'm not against it, but for me, it's sort of weird for someone to just say, like, I like this whole indie genre. Everything independent is awesome.
That person is just trying to be, like, cool. Like, I don't know.
If only one day I can be just as cool
but
as that
one
person.
But I just think it's funny that everyone's like... Yeah, the new Spider-Man. And it's like Mark Webb. I can guarantee you there's going to be a dance scene.
I mean...
Do you think there will be?
I can guarantee
Spider-Man?
You there'll be a dance. Maybe there'll be a dance in there. Why
what
not?
About
it takes
Spider-Man
place in high school.
Turn out the dark, and then, like, somebody falls from the sky.
That doesn't even count. That's not even, like... That director got, like, a race, didn't she?
Yeah.
Jane Seymour, whatever her name...
Her name is, like, Julie Tambor or something like that.
Man, I swear to God, when I was watching... Because, you know, I was actually, you know, I did a lot of research on the Turn Off the Dark of Spider-Man, or I guess that's what it's called, you know, and I was like, man, I should really, like, buy this as a present or something like that. This could be so awesome. And then I started reading reviews of it, and I started seeing pictures, and I started hearing the music, and
did they already release the music?
No, I mean, like, I saw clips of it from, you can
like
hear.
Like a trailer or something?
Well, on, like, all the, like, on the 60 Minutes or whatever, those shows and stuff like that. And then, what happened then, you know, that was like, I was like, cool, I can risk that. That could be interesting. But then I heard her talk. I heard the director talk. Julie, I don't know. She did Across the Universe. She did the movie Across the Universe, which I enjoy a whole lot. I enjoy that much.
Apparently, I read that she directed The Lion King also.
Oh, the stage play. Yeah.
Successful.
And that's, you know, yeah, so she's riding off of that. But then I heard her talk. And I'll tell you the truth. That turned me off. That turned me off from the whole entire thing.
Why? What was it?
It was just... you know, and I don't want to be against, like, I'm not going to genres, you know, just put everyone in a whole genre of, like, I don't like this type of talk. But she felt to me, like, really, really, like, overly, superly artsy about, like, the emotions of Spider-Man. And then to hear, like, what she did to the character made it feel all retarded. Not retarded, that's a bad word. But it was weird because she was like, you know, yeah, it was a great experience. And I just, you know, and I sat there and I was just like, we were so entranced by the performance and the rehearsal. Like, and we had to hug artsy. It out. And yeah, like really, really, like I'm okay with artsy fartsy.
You know, she's stage director.
And like, man, and that's just, maybe that just doesn't click with me. And that clicks with other people. That's awesome. I'm all for that. But for me, that took me away. I think a lot of Broadway
people are kind of like that, though.
But see, here's the thing, though. Here's the thing. In combination, like with Across the Universe, she could, you know, she can put that persona on there, and I'll be like, wow, I actually dug that movie. Cool. Act like that all you want. But then I saw the murder that was Spider-Man, the musical. I saw the clips of it, and...
Did you just call that murder?
Yeah.
Someone might actually be murdered from it one day.
Like, someone will...
Like, just straight up die.
That's not a murder, though.
Well, they murdered themselves in honor of Spider-Man.
That's a suicide. That's not a murder.
Whatever, suicide. Or what if it is murder? What if, like, I don't know how the play goes, but what if, like, somebody bumps into somebody and then it's murder?
What was
it?
They
fall from the sky.
Was it an accident? On accident?
An accidental murder. That could happen.
That's no such. That's not a murder. A murder is like a goal in someone's life. A
preconceived murder.
Yeah.
Well, maybe what if
it's like part of the checklist they have in the day?
What if one of the actors are like, "I'm gonna get him on the ropes." And then they, like, you know...
And then they murder him!
Or what if somebody from up above, like, cuts the rope on purpose?
Because they're like,
I want this actor to die tonight!
And that's a murder! It can't be accidental.
I've been doing that voice a lot now.
What?
That, like, I'm so hardcore voice.
I'm hardcore.
It probably sounds like the way Kevin Smith talks about his gay friend. You know, what's that guy? I don't know his name, but I've heard it on Smodcast.
He's
just like, I'm gay and I'm a bear. Like,
he doesn't actually talk like that, though.
No, there's like another guy.
He's Canadian.
But you know the guy that Kevin Smith's like friends with? Whenever Kevin Smith does his voice, he does it like that.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, it's like, he's like, oh, I'm Malcolm. I love God. But like, anyway, yeah, that's, I don't know where I'm getting that voice today, but that's my like hardcore.
That's the hardcore gay voice now.
Okay, it's the hardcore gay.
That's how you place
it. I love hardcore gay. You know? Like, it's just like some guy that's like, I'm hardcore. I hate Spider-Man 3.
So I'm going to go on the record and say I do not dislike Spider-Man 3. I enjoy Spider-Man 3 and Spider-Man. The only real comparison is the fact of Spider-Man 2 is better. Spider-Man 3 could have been better. But I believe that if they stuck with Sam Raimi's plan as a two-parter and had Vulture, that would have been awesome.
Yeah, so if it wasn't necessarily the director's full vision.
Well, I even heard it, like, they had sketches for the Vulture. Like, even, they had, you know, pre-pro going on. He wanted to cast Ben Kingsley. And then again, if you see, he tried to cast Ben Kingsley again in his Spider-Man 4 before the reboot.
Oh, yeah?
I guess Sony does not like Ben Kingsley at all.
Yes. So, another event just happened recently.
What happened?
WrestleMania.
Oh, WrestleMania.
What was your impressions of WrestleMania?
I want to know your impressions of WrestleMania. Tell me all your
first.
Hype. No way, but I just told a whole story. It's your turn. I'm tagging you in.
But we had a few friends that are close to the radio show, of course, that actually went to WrestleMania. So, Danny was there, Huzzard was there, and James was there. So I think in the future we should do some type of, you know, recording of their actual experience physically being at WrestleMania.
So just have them on the show just to tell their whole tale of their journey?
Yeah, because they
the WrestleMania
might,
journey?
They might have some behind-the-scenes stuff, and maybe if they went to, like, Fan Access or the Hall of Fame. I don't know, you know, I don't know what they were up to that whole weekend, but I think we should get them on the show to talk about, like, the firsthand perspective of being in WrestleMania. But, so, we saw it from TV, though. And WrestleMania was pretty exciting. It was pretty excellent and epic. And the whole screen of WrestleMania was huge. Like, I don't even know how big that is.
It was up to, like, the third tier of, like, the whole Georgia Dome. So WrestleMania took place at the Georgia Dome, which is a massive dome, you know. Massive.
They said
it's a football stadium.
There's the most people ever there for a live event. They have a world record. So that was pretty impressive.
Yeah, it's pretty, you know, it's pretty true. Yet I hear that possibly might be a lie.
Really? They're like just promoting lives.
Well, I think they say for a entertainment event.
Oh, really?
I think for a sporting event they had 75, but they sold out though, right?
I guess they sold out.
I mean that's all that matters, right? That's all really matters. If no more seats can get in, damn, that's good enough for me.
And the first
But you
match,
know how today is, everything has to be record breaking.
Yeah. Also, I do think it's funny whenever WWE comes back from commercials, they always have like this Guinness Book of World Records.
Did you know that WWF was
the most watched ever? You know, stuff like that. They're like, we're the most watched show ever between 18 to 34 year olds.
And then after that, 48 to 68 year olds.
We're the most watched show ever on Sci-Fi. And they just have all these world records that they keep breaking. Well, anyway, but the first match was like right up there. My two favorite guys right now working was Edge versus Alberto Del Rio. It was some good stuff. So I don't know. Should we spoil it or tell people what went on? Or I'm just saying I like that match.
Well,
we'll
let the rest of the gang when they come in, you know, get their experience on that, because probably the majority of the people have already known. They can find out online about all the matches and stuff like that. But usually, what are your usual impressions of WrestleMania in general? Like as like an
WrestleMania
event,
basically is this spectacle of wrestling. It's the number one event of the year. Everyone is showcasing what they have.
But besides that, what do you think of like the actual event of WrestleMania compared to like say everything else in this world? Because still, you know, people don't really like normal jabronis don't really care much about pro wrestling. I feel. Yeah, it might leak into the mainstream. It might be a little bit in the mainstream, but it's not like as a precious like it's not like a as a precious entity as. It's not put over as such a
precedent. It's not like as much
be,
as like the Super Bowl.
As I believe it should be.
Like the Super Bowl is something that like everybody watches, or at least they know about it. Yeah. Even if you don't care about football, you at least know that, oh, today's Super Bowl Sunday. You know, everyone's drinking beer and eating Doritos.
Yeah.
So like, you know, I feel like with WrestleMania, the reason why it's a little bit cut off between, you know, I guess the general public and, you know, to a level of Super Bowl level is because you have to pay for it, pay-per-view.
I mean, that shouldn't be a thing because people pay for MMA and they watch all that stuff.
But I still feel like to reach a general audience, like the Super Bowl is really available to so many people.
Yeah.
Whereas WrestleMania might not as be, you know, not everyone can just lay down like $60 or whatever it is.
Here's the coolest thing I find about WrestleMania itself. Yeah, it's like this massive spectacle. But, you know, for people to classify it just as like, oh, you're just going to watch these guys wrestle or, you know, like punch and kick each other and stuff like that, that's not the case. I mean, like, even the way that Vince McMahon describes as what WrestleMania is, he used to, the thing that I found that was different this year, or at least for me that I started noticing, is that he doesn't describe it just as the Super Bowl of wrestling anymore. Now the Super Bowl is like just one component that he added. He's saying like, oh yeah, it's like the Super Bowl mixed with the Oscars, mixed with like a rock, you know, like a music concert. Like it's a mixture of all
these
things.
See, this year they didn't really have a musical concert, I thought. Did they?
But like
they had like the national anthem,
but just
America the Beautiful.
But like just like the combination of what it is. Like you have like the showmanship of that. You know what I mean? You have the big, and you have like the celebrities, you know what I mean? That's really what this has become.
Yes, I was so excited. They had Pee Wee Herman there.
Yeah.
It was awesome. Pee Wee Herman talking with The Rock. How does it get any better than that? Those are two people I want to see together.
And you were able to see them on that show. Was that a surprise to you?
Yeah, I didn't know that Pee Wee Herman was going to be there, and he was awesome.
Did you have?
I wish they actually had more Pee Wee in it.
Did you have a favorite moment in this year's WrestleMania compared to last year's WrestleMania?
I did like the Undertaker Triple H match because I did have emotion for that.
Yeah,
I feel like anytime you get emotion out of somebody, even if it's, you know, good or bad, you know, sometimes you could cry. For example, you know, like I cried at watching WALL-E or Toy Story 3.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, that's, even though I was crying, you know, people usually associate crying with sadness. But I was crying, but it was like a good cry. I didn't cry at WrestleMania, but I did get emotion when I almost thought for a split second that the Undertaker's streak would, like, I thought Triple H might beat The Undertaker for a split second.
And you know, and
so I got worried. Like, I was like, oh, no, because I didn't want that to happen.
And that's one of the great things about, like, professional wrestling, I feel, is that, like, you know, in this day and age with the internet, just basically just with visibility everywhere, everyone knows that pro wrestling is, you know, it's scripted. It's planned out. That's, you know, it's quite obvious thing. It's quite obvious tale. And, you know, and people always bring that up to me and say, like, well, it's fake. You know what I mean? Oh, it's scripted. Why do you watch it? It's scripted. You know what I mean? And to that saying itself is actually really stupid.
But also anything is now.
That's what, like, I'm saying. Like, anything. So it's
have
always, like,
have you ever read a press release?
But to me, it's also like, well, wait, so the main reason why you don't watch pro wrestling is because it's scripted, so you don't, apparently, so you don't like anything that's scripted?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So, or like, you don't, a dance or a play.
It's like, oh, so yeah, it's exact. So you don't like movies then? Damn. You don't like it when performers perform a song that they already wrote, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, it's that shouldn't even be a, you know, I can understand if they don't like violence.
Or maybe, or are they comparing it to like something like basketball or something, where you don't know the game?
No matter what, whenever I've been told, it's never been a compare. It's always like, oh, it's scripted. Oh, so I don't like it. It's always like they just find a reason. It's cool. I totally understand, like, if you just don't like something because it's not your cup of tea. You know what? I don't like reality TV shows, and I don't watch American Idol. You know what I mean? It's just, I don't like American Idol. I can name it out because I don't really like a show based around people covering other people's songs. And I, you know, a lot of times they don't play like the music they play. That's fine. You know, reality TV, you know, it was cool back in the day. Then it got over flourished. That's fine. But these people, a lot of these people never give me a reason, never a logistical reason besides, oh, it's scripted, oh, it's fake.
Those people are always going to be like that. To me, it's like, it's not really worth proving to them.
They always just want to be that asshole. You know what I mean? They always want to be that asshole, feels like, sometimes.
It's not even worth, like, proving to them. It seems like they, like, will never change their mind about it, though. Like, maybe somebody in their past was just like, oh, that's fire.
Yeah.
And I'm doing my Malcolm voice.
Yeah. But it's interesting, though. That there's never really, like, a real no one really gives reasons why they don't, or, like, real descriptions why they don't like something. And I always find that really surprising. Like, oh, it sucks. It sucks. Oh, it's fake. Anything. Like, oh, yeah, I didn't like that movie because of this. Or because the music. You know what I mean? Why didn't you like the music? You know what I mean? But the thing is, it's all subjective anyway.
So what did you think of the Triple H Undertaker match?
I thought it was a freaking work of art. Like,
was that the best match on the card?
It was definitely was going in supposed to be the best match on the card. It had the most, it really had the most, you had more dedicated to it. You had an outcome that really, really meant something. And I think that is possibly always the key to telling any story, is you want people to care about the payoff. You want people to care about the ending. And also at the same point, you want to, you know, pay attention to see what happens. That's when you get those near falls. That's why those near falls are really, you know, really, you know, that's when you know it works. When you're always like, oh my God, that was so close.
Yeah.
Those are the crucial moments of, like, wrestling. When
the timing.
Exactly. Like, all those things. Just the fact of you feeling a near fall as a performer means that you have the audience. And there are multiple moments like that. Yeah. Or at least to me, there were multiple times like that.
There was, like, two times where I really thought, like, the Undertaker could lose. I was like, oh my God. God.
And like to think,
it's killing me.
And also to think that you're invested in that time, you're invested in these two performers. To think, yeah, you know it's scripted. Yeah, you know it's, yeah, you know, like, maybe things are planned out and stuff like that. But also to know that this performance is so good that you're invested in this time at each individual move, and that you can feel it, and they can feel it too. I mean, it's not like they don't hit each other. It's not like that. I mean, pain is pain. At the end,
I mean,
of the
they
day.
Were definitely still feeling it, because Undertaker got, like, what is that thing that they put him on, a stretcher?
Yeah.
Like, Undertaker got taken out in a stretcher, man. Like, at first I was like, is this written into script? I couldn't figure out if it was or not. But
at that moment,
I don't know, man.
See,
like, did you ever find out?
But see, that's the greatest thing. Do I need to find out? That's,
I don't,
not,
know.
That's,
I don't know if you,
but,
went out of your way to,
see,
like, look
a,
for
but
it.
But see, that's a secondary thought. See, at that, from bell to bell, or from the moment they reach on screen, they're telling a story.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the key right there. It doesn't matter at that, you know, it doesn't matter at the, what the internet says or what all this stuff says, is that while it's on TV, you're watching this story. And then if the story sucks, yeah, you'll turn away. Just like those people with Spider-Man 3. If they didn't like this character, or why is that guy dancing? Then they'll definitely, you know, they'll change the channel. But the fact that these, in that match, you're so captivated by what happens, that's, you know, at the end of the day, it's still telling the story.
Yeah, and definitely, like, Undertaker gave it all, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, same thing with Triple
H.
Both,
they both gave a great performance.
I just really don't like Triple H, but Undertaker did give it all. you know?
And that's, you know, that's the art of pro wrestling that I like a whole lot.
I don't even know what the reason is that I don't like Triple H. I just don't like him that much.
I mean, again, you know, that's how it is. You know, I don't like olives. Some people only like indie rock or indie movies for no reason.
I respect Triple H for what he does. You know, he's a good performer. I respect him. I'm just not into him.
I mean, what's the difference between at this point an indie film and a foreign film in a certain perspective?
Well, some people, like, I'd say most people don't even see indie films. A lot of people like to talk about it because they're like, oh my God, you see 127 hours.
I haven't even heard of that movie.
But then, like, people might have, I think that movie got a lot of exposure this year, but I don't think most people saw it. People are just talking about it.
I just find it entertaining. Like, a lot of times people will try to, no matter what people say, everyone I feel is competitive to a certain degree. And the fact that someone knows something or have seen something that another person hasn't seen, I think a lot of people will get off on that. You know what I mean? Oh my God, you haven't seen that? I'm better than you now. That's basically what they're saying. I'm better than you now. You haven't seen that movie? You didn't see that indie film? You haven't seen those thousands of indie films that I've seen?
People always do that with The Goonies for me, even though Goonies is not an indie film and it was a very prominent film that I never saw.
Yeah.
They're always like, what? You never saw that? You're a loser.
I can't believe it. How could you do this to your
country? I was honestly like never really exposed to it. I just like, I never even knew what it was when I was younger, to be honest with you.
The Goonies?
Like, I only heard of it like maybe like 3 or 4 years ago. Sorry if that's lame, everybody, but I just never, I never knew what it was.
Goonies is just,
no one showed it to me when I was 7 years old.
Goonies is not really like a movie I don't even own Goonies. And that's not really a movie I pop in and watch all the time at all, really. I haven't thought of the Goonies since last time we brought the Goonies up on the show.
Well, they said that somebody recently told me that it wouldn't be the same, like, me watching it at my age now versus me watching it when I was 7 or whatever when it came out.
Yeah.
So, like, or 4, or I don't know what year it came out. But basically, like, wouldn't be the same effect because I'm, like, already past, like, that kid age.
Past that kid age. So, see, while they're watching
I don't even know if it's really worth watching The Goonies, but yet they're still like, what? You haven't watched it? You have to watch it. Oh, my God.
That's that childhood fantasy. Just, like, Lean on Me or Stand by Me and all that stuff. Not Lean on Me with what's his face? Morgan Freeman. But,
I didn't watch Stand by Me either. I guess my childhood, I missed out, but I guess it doesn't matter because, like, I didn't pretty much miss anything.
You didn't miss out because you're too busy playing outside as opposed to watching a movie.
Probably. Or I was watching My Little Pony.
Or you're watching My Little Pony. Like, me, I remember watching, like, Back to the Future, and that was back for me, and, like, Batman, all that stuff. My past has a lot to do with Batman.
But, I mean, I did. It's not like I was, like, chained up when I was in elementary school and, like, didn't hear of, like, anything. I know all these movies and stuff, but I just never heard of The Goonies until 4 years ago.
But at the end of the day, is it really...
Or maybe I did and I just didn't... I don't know. I don't remember hearing anything about it.
I always find it funny when people come up to me or they find out I didn't watch a movie and that they saw and they're like, what? You're a filmmaker. You're supposed to know these movies.
You're supposed to be a walking IMDb.
You're supposed to have every single movie ever. I'm like, that sounds ridiculous to me at this point. I mean, yeah, I've seen movies, but I've only seen the ones that I love, that I like. I'm not going to go out of my way to watch something that I really don't feel like watching.
A lot of times with movies, I pretty much know what I like, you know? Like, very few times have I been disappointed in a movie. Like, everything that I've wanted to see, I'm like, oh, I'm going to go check that out. Like, Rango, how we saw that a few weeks ago. It's like, I knew I was already going to like it, you know? Like, it wasn't any big surprise. And I didn't know the whole story or anything, you know? I just knew it was like this little lizard in the West, and with Johnny Depp's voice, animated movie.
Now, if it was bad, like, I understand what happens when you go to a movie and you think you're going to like it and it turns out bad, so I try not to let that ever happen.
I think that's why you're not going to go see Sucker Punch.
Because there's too much of a variable in there now.
Because you're like, mixed bag.
I want to know if people, you know... It just seems like something I shouldn't invest my time to go to the theater and watch. Maybe I might go check out Super.
Is that already out?
Yeah, it might be already out. It's an indie movie. Maybe never had a release date.
But yeah, I think I also want to check out The Water for Elephants.
Yeah, it seems like something that would be pretty cool. I'll check that out.
At least for now, like, that's on my radar. With
Rob Pattinson and...
What's her name? Legally Blonde. Reese Witherspoon. But yeah, like, back to WrestleMania, though. I was really enthralled with that Undertaker match. I think he's a great person in wrestling, obviously. He's top dog. But, yeah, like, I just felt overall it was a good show. But we can get more specific on a future show with possibly Danny, if he can make it up here.
We'll make it into a wrestling show.
But James and Huzzard and all them. So, you know, they were actually there in live, and I'd like to interview them about how all that went and if they got to meet anybody, like, up close and personal. Because I feel like going to Fan Access, me personally, like, I don't know how much they saw, like, just sitting in the seat. Because yeah. I feel like...
Well, they're tweeting.
Yeah, I feel like I saw a few of their photos on Facebook.
Huzzard said he was supposed to be live tweeting or live doing something.
Really?
I never checked in on it, though.
I don't know, but I saw some of James' photos on Facebook. It looked like, you know, it looked like they had good seats, but at the same time, I don't know if they could see, like, the drama that we saw from the TV, like, people's facial expressions or just, like, sometimes when they got behind, there. You know, when they got, like, behind the announcer booth and, like, you know, where, like, the coal mine was, stuff like that. There's certain areas or, like, where Miz got hit on the concrete, like, over the railing. There's certain areas that I don't think anyone, you know, there's not, like, there's good seats, but... Just certain areas up close, you won't be able to feel the effect from,
Do you enjoy going to live shows, or would you rather just watch it on TV?
I like going to live shows, but I feel like in a big arena, sometimes you lose the effect of things.
With, like, 75,000 people?
I feel like that's why they had that WrestleMania banner, or, like, the, you know, that big signage.
Yeah.
So huge.
Yeah.
And, like, the big screen, because, like, they kind of need to have that. If you don't have that, then people can't see anything.
What do you think of the wrestling live events? Because, really, like, a lot of people have not been to, like, wrestling live events before.
Well, like, every single wrestling live event
tell me about the first time you ever been to a wrestling live event, and, like, going into it, like... What were your thoughts?
Went to Raw or SmackDown?
I went to a SmackDown. And MCI, I believe.
Yeah, I went to SmackDown at MCI. And
what were your initial, like, thoughts, like, going into, like?
Well, I was, because, like,
I've already been to, like, a million, like, wrestling shows, but so I don't really remember how it was. I think I might remember how it was, like, the very first show, but what about for you? Because now you have more, I guess, you know, you had more time to digest it all. And
yeah, it was, like, exciting.
No, but what were you going into?
Going into it?
What were you thinking? And how?
I mean, I just thought that, like. I can't even remember if I brought a sign or not, but I remember I was like, I need to have a sign, and I'm going to get on TV, like, that type of thinking.
Was that one of the main thoughts? I was like, man, I'm going to get on TV, because I always know that's a... Whenever, like, I went to a Nitro event, like, Dave Penzer would always be like, all right, guys, get up. We need you. Do you all want to be on TV? Do you want to be on TV?
They're getting people riled up.
Yeah, because that's, like, the key. People want to be on TV and stuff like that. So, and that I know when I first saw my first show, I was like, I want to be on TV.
I think also it's, like, a young mentality, because we were, like, how old were we? Like, 17 or something, you know? So it's, like, I think in my head I was like, yeah. You know, like, you have more of, like, that feeling that it could happen.
Yeah.
Because you don't know, like, the lay of the land or the arena. So, you pretty much are like, yeah, I'm going to have a sign and get on TV. And I don't even remember if I had a sign or not. Because I remember that was during a time where they were confiscating the posters.
Yeah.
And I remember I saw Maven outside. And I was like, oh, it's Maven. And I was just so excited
tough enough.
Yeah, I was just so excited to, like, shake hands, get touch points from Maven. You know, like, he's probably I guess he was, like, the first wrestler I ever met. I think, like, up close. So, I mean, even though, like, I guess people make fun of Maven. It was just, like, just Maven. But still, I was, like, excited. You know, I got to see somebody.
Maven definitely, I mean, at the same time, he was still, like, a character on screen. So it's sort of like, wow. You know, I mean, he performs too.
Yeah, I was like,
and also it's crazy, Maven. Because he's pretty much local. You know, he's Harrisonburg, so.
Yeah.
So he's a Virginian.
But that, like, got me excited, like, because I was like, I'm going to get on TV and I'm going to see Maven. Like, and I saw Maven there.
Well, you were thinking
I didn't think that I was going to see Maven, but when I first came to the arena, like, he was, like, one of the first things we saw.
Yeah, he was just hanging out.
Yeah, and I was like, it's Maven! Like, and then, like, at that point, you really feel like the characters are that close to you, or the wrestlers, like, you know, they're really... I think wrestling really does give back to their fans.
They do. I think they really do.
Like, they work really hard at that. But then,
especially wrestling fans are, like, impossible to please, you know?
I mean, once we sat down, I was just, like, excited to be there, and I just remember, like, cheering, and, like, I remember seeing, like, Stone Cold with the beers.
Yeah.
And they were all, like, throwing that around at then.
You also saw Vince McMahon, too, because he started turning off the lights in the arena.
And we saw Stephanie McMahon, like, run right by us.
Yeah.
And she was running in high heels. It was so fast, like, I barely, like, saw it. She was like a bullet. I don't even know how she can run in those high heels. It was impressive. But yeah, I don't remember every single moment of that show, but I just remember that I had fun and I was just, like, cheering and trying to get on TV, and I don't think I ever did, but but I was just, like, excited to be there.
I remember when we bought those tickets, they're, like, the last second tickets too, just, like, when they opened up space, and we're, you know, like, how after they already positioned all the TV cameras and all the positioning for everything. Sometimes seats open up, and like we got those seats. So and they're still solid seats. They're like just right on the barricade of the floor, and when it starts to go upward.
Yeah, they were good seats. I just don't remember like every little thing that happened in the match.
Well, not that, but it's like the experience.
Yeah.
Because I always feel like being surrounded by like a wrestling crowd. For me, it feels like you can say like anything, man. You know what I mean? That's what I always loved about.
There's all these chants going on, and I remember everyone was saying what, like even after when we went back on the metro.
Yeah.
People were just being like what.
And I think that's
Stone Cold.
And that's what's great about like just that whole entire environment, and the fact that it is like wrestling is like a crowd interactive. You know, they really do like capitalize on that. We're just as important to the show.
Audience participation is required.
Yeah. It's not required, but you know, it's like,
well, if you want to have fun.
Yeah, if you want to have,
can't just stand there with your arms crossed watching it.
Yeah, it is sort of a weird situation if like you're not have, you know, if you're just standing there, but I guess some people just stand there, but it just always feels like a whole bunch more fun when you're yelling and you're having a good time and doing all that stuff.
For sure. And then I guess we went to a house show afterwards, a couple house shows.
Yeah.
And
a house show, and a televised show is like almost like strategically different too.
Yeah, they're very different. Because also the other thing I remember from the SmackDown televised show is that they had fireworks, and I remember it was getting like foggy because of the fireworks, the after effects of the fireworks. It was like almost that it looks so much better on TV, and then like I mean seeing it live you get that effect, but also.
And you don't have commentaries not there either.
Yeah, you don't have commentary, but also, like, it was cool to see the fireworks, but then sometimes I really do feel like they do the fireworks just for TV.
They do the fireworks just for TV.
But then, like, being there, you're, like, all excited. You're like, I could see the fireworks and this and that. But in a way, like, the fireworks were, like, in my opinion, a hindrance of watching it because it got too smoky.
But, like, you get to feel the explosions
and
the heat.
Definitely
feel
it.
That's always fun.
You definitely feel it. So, like, I guess there's, you know, on the scale of things, it's, like, I definitely think it's, like, a good thing to go to at least one live taping of a wrestling show in your lifetime.
At this point, do you have like a favorite live show experience from a wrestling event so far?
Well, honestly, I've liked the TNA ones that we went to.
Why is that? If there's a reason.
I think that
besides the tickets being free.
Well, that didn't even come into play. It's just that I honestly had the most fun there because I think that the crowds were a little bit less and also they were a little bit more personable. Like, when you got to basically meet all of them, like, they were out on the floor afterwards.
Who'd you meet?
I met, a whole bunch of people. I'm getting into
the
Spider-Man.
What was the first TNA show that you saw?
Because there's, like, a few that we went to. Because I saw Samoa Joe, Rhino, the Beautiful People. Who's that guy that got hurt? Starts with a K. Cronus or something?
Cronus? No, Cronus wasn't there.
No, what's his name? What's that guy that's Mexican?
Conan?
Conan. Doesn't it start with a K?
Yeah.
Conan. I saw, Eric,
Was that the main difference? Is that what TNA shows compared to WWE shows? You're able to meet, like, the wrestlers and stuff like that?
Yeah, like, I feel like, the TNA, like, I think they're just more, like, a family-type organization in a way. Like, Vince is also like that, but there's...
It gets
to a grand level where you can't just have, like, The Rock just, like, walking around. Like, and I understand that. You know, like, I feel like once the superstars get to a higher level, they can't just be walking around, like, no big thing.
Yeah.
So, but I definitely feel like at TNA...
And also, you gotta...
All the stars were able to, like, just walk around afterwards. I mean, they definitely had, like, a small barricade. They were, behind a certain area. It was obviously designated that you're going to meet them.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it was just more accessible. Because I guess their star power...
Because they're indie, that's why.
Because they're so indie.
They're so indie.
But, like, I mean, but I like that they did that.
They don't have a release date.
I like that because they didn't have to.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, a lot of those people didn't have to be there and hang out a little bit.
But also that builds the memories, too.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because it's like, oh, man, I met this wrestler. Like, when people are like...
Well, like, Curry
because remember,
Man,
you saw the
example.
You saw The Rock, like, in a... At the... Which convention?
The National Convention.
Yeah, and, like... At that moment, you're like, oh, man, it's The Rock. I mean,
yeah.
These wrestlers are, you know, celebrities
and he had,
performers.
Like, a whole entourage. He had, like, 10 guys around him
yeah.
when I saw him there. So it was like, he's basically untouchable.
Yeah.
And he just happened to be walking by, like, 1 foot from me in that aisleway.
Did she just snap a photo of him?
Yeah. And he's, like, guarded by, like, 10 guys.
The biggest guy there
but
guarded by 10 guys.
But he's the biggest guy. But, like, basically...
Because he's a real celebrity, that's why.
But basically, like, with TNA, I think that they had more access. And also, that's how those guys make money. You know, $10 headshot or whatever.
Because those are all still independent contractors.
Yeah. So, like, Curry Man is hanging out there, like, you know, signing stuff for $10. And that's how they make their main living,
and
you know?
That's sort of like how we are at the conventions and stuff like that, you know?
So, if you understand that perspective...
We're all trying to make a living.
Yeah. I understand that, you know, they're selling their DVDs and hawking their wares, which is fine. But it's, I'm just saying, like, I just really enjoyed the TNA events, actually. You know, I feel like, also, they had this one match that was very memorable called the Fish Market. And it was awesome. They had, like, fish.
Like Destination X, they had the Fish Market Brawl, something like that.
It was called the Fish Market Brawl. And then they were literally throwing fish in the stadium, and it smelled. Like, the whole stadium smelled like fish.
The Dudley Boys against Shark Boy and Curry Man.
Yeah. And the whole stadium, like, it had a distinct smell. And this is something that you would not be able to see if it was just on TV. You know, like, you wouldn't be able to feel that emotion of the smell. And then in one particular moment, there's this one lady that actually was in the audience, and she got hit by a fish.
Yeah, you'd see, like, the fish go flying up
and
in the air.
Like, you could hear it, like, hit her skin, like, it was, like...
And then, like, ricocheted, then, like, 5 feet like, away.
And then, like, ricocheted off her.
Like, why didn't she see that coming?
It was kind of like rubber just bouncing off somebody's face.
But no one wants to get in the face with a fish either.
No. Especially, like, that lady. Because she looked like a nice lady, you know? It's like, that poor nice lady just got hit in the face with a fish.
I don't know. How does she look like a nice lady? I don't know. How to judge that.
Well, from far away, she just looked like, you know, I don't know about... nice meaning like attitude nice, but I'm just saying, like, she looked like some hot chick that probably didn't want to have a fish in her face.
Was she a hot chick that got hit in the face with a fish?
Or I don't know if she was hot, but I don't know. She's like some, I don't know how old she was, but like, I don't know, anywhere between 25 and 35. And she, I remember she was like blonde, you know.
Was she blonde? I just thought she was a black lady.
Oh, really?
I don't know. They were in the shadows.
Now that if she's a black,
I was paying attention to the match.
I honestly don't know what she looked like, to be honest with you, but either way, a lady getting hit in the head with a fish.
That's the most
memorable moment
of a WrestleMania.
But it was, awesome because you heard it, like, hit her skin and then flabber off like a rubber fish, but it was a real fish.
One thing I crucially, anyone who goes to a wrestling show that you should definitely do is hang out by the ramp in which they leave from, because that's your best chance of seeing some superstars and some wrestlers. Because, you know, you get to, because they have to leave, and we have to trap them before they leave. I think that's where I find, like, my favorite moments. Like, I remember seeing Chris Jericho and Trish Stratus, and even hearing Ric Flair as he takes the shuttle.
Woo!
Shuttle all the way to the airport. It's just, you know, it's like your last glimpse. A lot of times, like, when there's wrestling shows in Richmond, I wouldn't even go to the show. I would just go hang out by the ramp, because the wrestlers leave during the show, during Raw.
We saw Kurt Angle leave in his car.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We saw Brock Lesnar, too.
We did. Wait, we did?
Yeah.
When?
I did. I saw him. Or you should have saw him, too. He was there.
I think I saw him. Wait, who was driving with Kurt Angle?
I don't know who was driving with Kurt Angle, but
Kurt Angle was driving.
But I remember seeing...
I remember he ran a red light.
Like, I remember that at the... yeah, we're all like, Kurt ran a red light, what the fuck?
And we end with that.
Where are we going to be?
We are going to be this Sunday. We're going to be at Capcom's Comic Book and Pop Culture Convention.
Who else is going to be there? So, oh yeah. Also, if you're in the DC area, definitely try to find Magic Bullet. We have a story in there if you can find it.
It's a newspaper. Find it at Metro shops or comic shops or magic shops. Anywhere it can appear.
That's right. And yes, we have a story in there. What is the name of the story?
It's a Black Magic Tales story called Good Enough.
Yes, it's called Good Enough. Written by Joe Carabeo, illustrated by Carolyn Bolesky. That is us. The Carolyn and Joe Show. On paper. On and all.
On newsprint. That's on
right.
Fish wrap.
That's right. My name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
Thanks for listening. Tune in next week.
Or you can come see us on Sunday.
Hey, my name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
See you later, Carolyn.
See ya.
Stay positive, everybody. Been enough, I gave you blood.